Mike Tirico here with some of the 2024 Team USA athletes. What's your message for the team of tomorrow?
To young athletes, never forget why you started doing it in the first place.
You have to pursue something that you're passionate about.
Win, lose, or draw, I'm always going to be the one having a smile on my face.
Finding joy in why you do it keeps you doing it.
Be authentic, be you, and have fun.
Joy is powering Team USA during the Olympic and Paralympic Games. Comcast is proud to be bringing that inspiration home for the team of tomorrow.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.
Techscape on Taking Stock. Brought to you by PwC. Our industry experts can help you unlock the full potential of AI to transform your business safely and responsibly. Visit pwc.ie to learn more.
Now, it was a world of climbing walls and beanbags. The early years of the big, large tech giants offered employees the chance to bring their whole selves to work. Questioning what they were asked to do was seen as a normal practice, and the traditional workplace and the hierarchies that they had and the traditional management structures that we were all used to were frowned upon. But now things have changed. To understand why managers are reasserting their roles, I'm delighted to be joined now by Elaine Moore. She is the tech comment editor at the Financial Times, and she wrote a piece outlining the new order in tech. Elaine, you're very welcome to News Talk.
Hi, nice to talk to you.
Now, just remind us, Elaine, when all these big tech companies came in, like Facebook, and now they're known as Meta and Twitter, what were the early days like? What were they offering staff that we hadn't been used to before?
I think it was a completely radically new idea of what a workplace could be. And quite a lot of it was based around the idea that your workplace, your office could be a fun place, could be somewhere that you bring your whole self. That was one of the little mottos that was used at the time. But this idea that you don't just clock in a suit and clock out again and, you know, have your sort of corporate persona. This is the idea that what you're doing, you believe in wholeheartedly, and the company is trying to get the best out of you. So free food, free snacks, equipment, exercises, bikes you could ride around the campus. It was like a sort of blurring of your personal life and your office life. And that was all designed to try and attract the very best people to come and work in tech, because the period of time we're talking about, tech was still a relatively new sector, or certainly companies like Facebook were new companies. So if they wanted to compete against really well-paid, solid jobs in other sectors, they had to offer something new. And one of those new things was this idea that work would be a really interesting, fun place. Lots of other young people, lots of cool things going on. Your laundry would get done for you. You could sit and eat as much as you would like. And just the only thing that was asked of you is that you would produce incredible work.
Yeah. And it was promoted as this space that would foster creativity and make you feel relaxed. I remember I was working for a university at the time, and we were brought down to one of these spaces in Dublin, because, as you know, like, a lot of those are HQ'd here in Dublin. And we had a few of the lecturers and professors from the university kind of walking around looking at people playing pool and, you know, having safe spaces and quiet spaces. They were dumbfounded. But I've worked on more than my fair share of election campaigns. And what it reminded me a great deal of was in an election campaign, you make the environment as conducive to people staying in the building as you possibly can, because you want them to work as long as they possibly can and stay there. So you provide food, relaxing areas, and you do everything you can to keep them in the building. And it did remind me a bit of that. So yeah, there might have been that other side of, like, getting people in, yes, fostering creativity, but keeping them there.
Absolutely. Silicon Valley, I don't know if you've been, but as a place, it's not very exciting. It's lots of big freeways, it's pretty flat, it's nothing really to look at. It's not a sort of very exciting town to be working in. So the companies had to make their campuses as interesting as possible. And yes, you're right. If you can provide food, if you can do someone's laundry, if you can get them to exercise on site, then they have no incentive to leave again. So you extract a lot more of their time, and they'll give it to you willingly, and they'll feel happy to do it. And that means that your company can explode, as a lot of these big tech companies did. So it asked a lot of employees for the relatively sort of cheap price of some food and some climbing equipment.
Yeah, it was a handy tactic for them that worked. I recall somebody saying once it was like the Hotel California. You could check out, but you just couldn't leave.
I think that's true. I also think we have a debt to them as well, because I do think that it raised the expectations
that's
of workers
true.
In other sectors of what you should expect your workplace to be. Things like open plan offices that are quite annoying for a lot of workers. They are still in place, but in terms of what the environment should look like, whether you should be able to have more freedom to express yourself, whether you should be expect your workplace to be somewhere that's welcoming, that's engaging, not just somewhere that you're a sort of corporate drone. I think we all have benefited to a degree from what tech companies have provided.
You're 100% right. That plus COVID, and then a realization that staff were actually, you know, the core of every organization and the key to keeping business going. They definitely, definitely both helped to lift the standards. But anyway, we can call it whatever we will. We can talk about what it produced, but you feel it's kind of changing now.
I do. And I think what's happening is that the tech sector is enormous now, so they don't need to fight so hard to bring in the best workers. If you are, you know that a big tech company is going to be somewhere that you're going to be very well paid. There's going to be traditional levels of management. It's not quite the same as joining a scrappy startup where you would expect to be given more privileged treatment. What's also happening is there is a degree of a power shift going on between workers and managers. And I think that's probably a post COVID thing. Companies have been getting rid of a lot of workers. There's been a pull to bring people back to the office. There's been a push on tech companies to become more profitable, and a lot of them have, and so they want more from their workers. But there's also this sort of cultural change that's happening where a lot of the companies are pushing back on workers who feel that it's their place to criticize what the company does in public. In earlier days, companies would have been more willing to listen to that. And now what you're seeing is much more hard lines being drawn, workers being told, if you don't like what we do, you can just go somewhere else.
And why do you feel, Elaine, that employers feel a bit more emboldened in that relationship than they did a year or so ago?
I think that the job cuts have got a lot to do with it. They're across Silicon Valley, across the whole tech sector, they're companies employed a lot of people in the pandemic, and then they really drew back afterwards. We saw these thousands of jobs being cut at the exact same time. So that meant that the power was more in their hands. They felt like they were able to dictate the terms of employment a lot more. And then I also think that companies learn from one another. So one employer does it, the others learn from it. You see what's acceptable. And I do think that what Elon Musk did when he took over at Twitter was very widely watched. He got rid of a lot of workers. He had this view that you should be able to run companies with a very small number of employees, and you don't need to be providing all of these extras. Twitter was known as a pretty great place to work. There was a lot of freebies, and there was a lot of talk of expressing yourself and bringing your whole self to work. When Elon Musk bought it, took it over, he scrapped as much of that as he could, and he said we should be focusing on the product and the company. Now, that it's debatable how well that's gone. It hasn't gone very well. But the philosophy behind it, his ideas behind it, people in tech very watch what Elon Musk does very, very carefully. And he's held in very high regard by a lot of very senior people. And I do think that that might have had something to do with it as well.
That's a really interesting point. We saw this week again, he's firing more content moderators. The platform is plummeting in terms of advertising and subscribers. But yeah, I mean, a lot of people would disparage his work management style. And yet, as you say, he's still somebody that the industry as a whole probably does look to and look up to. You were in this article, which is really good. We highly recommend a read of it, because it does give a sense of how things are shifting again. You talk about Netflix and maybe how their culture is changing.
Yes. So Netflix has this very famous memo that it puts out every so often that describes the culture of the company. It's very long. The first one was a big, long PowerPoint presentation. And it's quite bombastic, and it talks a lot about the qualities that it wants to see in its workers. The very first one was produced by the founder and the CEO, Reed Hastings, and it talked to us about honesty, candor, courage. If you were an employee, you would read that and think that you were being asked to criticized the question, to be frank and direct. And that is something that Netflix is known for. What has changed is in the very latest one that came out a couple of weeks ago, there are some shifts in the language. Netflix has, by the way, already said, if you have a problem with our content, you don't need to work at Netflix, because it did get some backlash in some programs that it put out a couple of years ago. And it's now talking about, the latest memo has this line that says not all opinions are equal. And the idea is that perhaps not everybody needs to be consulted on every decision that this company is taking. And I think that that is a marker of a change that's happening across the sector. And I also wonder if maybe it's got something to do with changes in politics in America as well. In much, Silicon Valley is known, was always known for being a fairly uniform Democrat voting part of the world. And I think that along with the rest of America, maybe the rest of the world, there's been more of a split, and perhaps that has also changed the relationship. A lot of companies are now suggesting that the workplace is not somewhere to bring your politics, your opinions, to have fights about culture. So I think that might have something to do with it as well.
Do you think that because America is more divided, that they want that to stay out of the workplace? Or do you think that there's a fear of the potential of a Donald Trump returning to the White House, that civil divide might escalate?
Maybe both. I think we won't know until we have the next elections. But I think that, and by the way, it's not just America. A lot of countries are following in America's footsteps. But I think that the passions that are that come from politics right now can cause big ructions. Mm. And companies don't want that, in that they see that as being distracting from the work that should be done. And so what they're asking is that to be squashed. They just don't want people to have those kinds of conversations in the workplace. My guess would be we will see a lot more companies in different countries saying these sorts of things. In the US, they're now quite explicit. Google, for example, is explicit about this. And I would guess we'll see a lot more companies doing the same thing in other countries.
Yeah, and we're seeing a lot of those companies pushing back a lot more, not just in the workplace, but when there's protests in the workplace about specific issues.
Exactly. Google fired some people that it said were disrupting work that sit in a few years ago. And I think that in the past, maybe there would have been more of a dialogue between workers and management. And now there is a view that these sorts of events have to be shut down as quickly as possible. And you have to dissuade free people from doing it again in the future. There's been a sort of move towards unionization in some companies and some sectors. And I think that also perhaps is creating more friction between workers, or perceived friction between workers and management, that maybe they feel like they have to act more decisively or more harshly towards workers who criticise the companies.
Right, yeah, that's a very interesting point. Yeah, the workers are obviously, you know, a very important part of this discussion. We talked earlier about COVID and a hiring and maybe an excessive hiring in tech companies for obvious reasons at that time, and now a rationalisation that happened afterwards to try and get them back to the right numbers. How are workers to behave in this situation? So if you're in a tech company now and you're used to an environment which is culturally open and, you know, prompting you to be creative and to voice your opinion, and suddenly that culture changes, but you feel a little bit like, you know, my job might be on the line, and is there some place for me to go? What do you do? Or is there any advice you can give?
I'm not sure there's any advice I can give, other than to say that the tech sector is very broad, and there will always be new startups where you could swap your perhaps more rigid corporate structure for something that is more open and that requires more input from the people that work there. So that's one option as well. But maybe also it's just recognizing that the tech sector now is not what it was 10 or 15 years ago. These are now big established multinational companies. If you work for one, you are entering into a corporation, into a hierarchical traditional setup. And that if you take that choice, then that will come with the restrictions that come with a lot of other large international corporations.
Indeed. So that the concept of moving fast and break things is over, and now we're just going to conform to a corporate structure like everyone else.
I mean, they would disagree, but maybe.
Well, yeah, it kind of is beginning to look a bit like that, though. Elaine, thanks very much for being with us today. I found that very interesting. That was Elaine Moore, the tech comment editor of FT.com. Elaine, thank you.
Thank you so much.
For almost 40 years, DR Power Equipment has been the go-to for homeowners who want professional-level outdoor power equipment. Whether you're managing acres of overgrown fields or just want to have the best lawn on the block, DR Power has everything you need to conquer your piece of the outdoors. Visit drpower.com today to learn more and shop the sale.